morning. If you're new to Northside, we just want to welcome you and thank you for coming to today. And I want everyone just to take out your bulletins, open them up. There's a little card in there called the connection card. If you could fill that out, give us a little bit of information about you so that we can contact you and help you stay informed about Northside, that would be great. And then just put it into the offering basket when it comes by. Also, if you're a first-time visitor to Northside, we'd love for you to, we have a welcome gift for you. We'd love for you to come and take one. It'll be out on the kiosk, and love just to talk to you and get to know you better. So just a couple of things coming up here. The youth are going to the Winter Jam. It's a concert with a ton of different Christian artists. One of my favorites, Family Force 5. They're awesome. And Skillet, Jeremy Camp, a whole bunch of others that are, it's a really powerful concert. It's fun. It's only $10. So I urge you to get your kids there. And also, Emily Hughes has something special to tell us about.
Good morning. We have a great opportunity coming up. Michelle McCurahan is going to be with us next week. She'll be coming in on Friday. And in your bulletin, there's two handouts. Michelle McCurahan is a missionary that we've supported for a number of years. God called her out and told her to sell her stuff, her house and everything, and to serve him. And so she's been doing that faithfully. And what I want to tell you about Michelle is that she is so alive in Christ, and you cannot be with her for any length of time and not experience just how alive she is and what that does for me and her presence and many others, those of you who know her. Well, there's several events coming up. The women's ministry event, that's next Saturday, January 17th. We're going to be having a brunch at 10, and then she's going to be sharing and probably some of her personal testimony, and there will definitely be a very powerful ministry time. So that'll be from 11 to 1 after the brunch. And then there's also another Come Encounter God Through Silk Painting. And this is when she's so artistic and creative, and uses the gifts God's given her in such a powerful way. This is one of the scarves that she made for me. But this is a scarf that I made at one of the classes. And I was kind of impressed because I'm not the most artistic person in the world, but it came out. And it's it's very colorful. But she just invites God into that and prays over us and really hears the Lord and listens to the Lord as she ministers. And so for each of these events, for the one next Saturday, there's childcare, but I need to know. So if you are needing that, and so please let me know. Also, just let us know that if you are planning on attending, this is a great opportunity to bring friends and people who maybe don't even know Jesus. So especially for hurting women you know that are struggling, this would be, I mean, she has a great ministry to women. And so, again, let us know if you're coming so we know how much food to prepare and also if you need childcare. And also on the silk painting event, which is the following Friday night, January 23rd, I need for you to call me and let me know if you're coming, first of all. You can make payments. The space is limited, so let me know. I already have several people who have signed up. The cost is $30, and you can go online and pay at her www.hisjewel.org, or you can pay me. So just want to really encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities. You won't be sorry, and we've been praying about this and believe God wants to do something really mighty in and through her. She'll be here for a full week, so God bless you, and I hope you come out.
Exciting stuff. I actually got a privilege to spend some time with Michelle years back, and it was just a really powerful experience. I just remember feeling the presence of God, like, very powerfully. So anyway, with that, Dan Fouché is going to come and read a little bit out of John 1, 29 through 50. It's about the beginning of Jesus' followers as they began to journey with Jesus.
Good morning. I was thinking we live in an information age. Well, that's an overused cliche. But we're constantly barraged with so many ideas, so many life choices. Many of them present themselves as fact. And I just, you know, as I was thinking about this scripture today, I just wanted to remind you, there is only one absolute truth. And here it is. And God has placed it right in our hands. How favored we are. Would you stand with me while we read our scripture today? The reading is from John 1, verses 29 through 51. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself didn't know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I've seen it, and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one who Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of God. Please be seated.
Now the Cornelius sisters, Emily and Christy, are going to be sharing a song with us. And during that song, I just want you to take some time and think about your own personal journey with Jesus and how he's with us in the best and worst of times. And he's the strength that from which we draw from. So meditate on that as you listen to them.
Down by the water. shall you receive. So take from me these troubles, bring me sweet release, where the river will never run dry.
Amen. I'm done. The high school and middle school students and leaders are dismissed to their classes. Wow. That song is so appropriate for what we're about to think about. We all have our troubles. They might be big troubles, or they might be those little troubles that are distracting us right now. And those troubles are God's enemy, because they might keep you from turning to the river that never runs dry, the flow of his life through his spirit in your life. And let's pause and pray that God's river would flow to each of us, so that we might be those who flow out for him. Lord, how amazing that you would choose to come to us and love us and give us life, and give us a life where there needs not be thirst, a river that never runs dry. Troubles off of us and on you. Living a life of adventure, a life of fullness, even in the midst of troubles. Lord God, would you help us this morning to see you, to hear you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are starting into a series of messages on journeying with Jesus. And you know, that can sound so vague and so blasé, honestly. Does it sound really compelling? Well, not necessarily, but there's nothing more compelling than the idea that the living Savior is with us and is for us, and he wants to take us somewhere. And that's what this message in this series is all about, is our Savior, the one who has come to us to take us somewhere that only he can take us. As we think of the metaphor of travel, of traveling the road today, I hope that each of us will get caught up at points. We might be I might be talking about something in this message, but something in the metaphor of this travel might catch your attention. And I'm just going to say, go off on that journey. Don't listen to me. Just listen to maybe what the Lord is saying. Because I think there are things that might be provoked in us, in our own lives, related to what comes out in His Word, that would be good for us to go on that little journey with Him today. So feel free to go off on your own journey as I'm speaking. It's not daydreaming, it's journeying. The first thing on this journey is to know the road. And the Lord has given us His Word as a map, as a compass, as a GPS. He's given us His Spirit to help us to know the truth of this Word and how it applies to our lives. He's given us a description of the road. He's not left us alone in this journey. He's with us, and He has given us His Word for this journey. So it's important that we are knowing the road as we go along. We need to know all about this road as we travel, and God's Word will help us. When I was a youth pastor at Central College Church, in my the first summer, I drove a bus up to Wisconsin. Then I drove a bus to Kentucky for this mission trip. And have you seen the Dukes of Hazzard? Yeah? Well, we went through Hazzard, Kentucky. And we were up in these hills, mountains, whatever you call them. And I didn't really know the road. I saw a map. Back in those days, didn't have all the nice things we have now. There was a map. And we're driving in this bus up these winding, really steep hills and really sharp turns. And I got to this one point, hadn't made it to the top of the hill yet or the mountain, and the bus would not go any further. And I'm thinking, self, this is a problem. I looked behind, like, I can't back down that mountain in this bus. I can't do that. I knew, looking behind, that I had to not go back that way. We would all be rolling off the mountain together. So that is how God's Word helps us. And, oh, because people have said, what was the rest of the story? Well, so I found out that if you just take your foot off the accelerator, go a little bit, you can, and finally we, inch by inch, anything's a cinch, and we made it to the top of the hill. Thank you, Lord. But the point here is that we need to use this word to look back, because there were journeys of people before us, and we can learn about our journey and what to avoid on our journey, for one thing, by looking back in God's Word and understanding why there are some roads you don't want to go back on. So we need to look behind as we go forward on this road. As we go forward, we need to be paying attention to what's in front of us and what is around us. As we're traveling in this journey, there are people with us, in front of us. There's action going on. There are words being spoken, and we read them, we see them. There are things that just, as we're going on this road, they just seem to fit. Yeah, that makes sense that this is on this road. But there are other things that are completely surprising on this road, unexpected. There are some, we need to be aware of what is dangerous on the road we're on. We need to be cognizant of what leads to good on this road, how this road leads to good. In the passage that we heard today, there was a traffic director there. If you've driven much, you've probably been in a place where there was a collision and there was traffic and there was someone who was the traffic director telling people where to go in light of the fact that there's been this collision. In this passage, we find out that there has been a collision. There has been a collision between heaven and earth. There has been a collision between the sin of people who have turned away from God, have rejected Him passively or aggressively, quietly or with hostility, but they've turned another direction. And that sin has had a collision with the God who has nothing but love for His people, even those who have turned away from Him. So this traffic director, John the Baptist, he's directing people. He's saying, here's the bridge. Here's the way to go from that place of being apart from where you're meant to be with God to being in that place of rightness with God, of that right relationship with God, the place where life is. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the bridge, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who is the road to life, the bridge to life, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes all of my sin and all of your sin. When it says the sin of the world, that means all of us, and that means you, and that means me. And he takes, for everyone who receives him as Savior, he takes all of that sin on him, and he takes it away. He carries it away. It is gone. He's the bridge. And as we're going down this road, there are travelers on their way. We go through this life, and we have our physical destinations. We're going to this place or that place, and we use this road or that road physically. But every person that we encounter is on their way somewhere. Everyone that you are around, that you are with, is on their way somewhere. They have a destination at the end of this life, and they have a destiny in this life. And so their destiny in this life, their destination at the end of this life, there's a road spiritually that the Lord has laid out for them. They may or may not be on that road, but we're with travelers. Every person that you encounter is a traveler. And on the way, there are signs. We saw the travelers in this passage. We saw Simon and Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel. There were other travelers. We have our travelers. And then there are signs on this road. We see that in the passage. We could call it testimony. John the Baptist had some signage. He was baptizing Jesus, and before that, he heard a voice from heaven. He understood that the one he would baptize would be the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He received word from heaven, testimony from heaven, that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And then John himself became signage, if you will. He pointed his followers to Jesus. There were signs all around, and there were surprise twists in the middle of this road. Surprises happening. Unexpected donations, destinations. Unexpected. Think of it. John was going along baptizing, And all of a sudden, he's baptizing the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. It is hard for us to really get what that means, what it meant to him. But if we could shake ourselves and get out of kind of the mundane that we live in from day to day, this was it. This was the one. The baptizer with the Holy Spirit, which means the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was the way to life, had come. The one that everyone was waiting for. He was here. And this is him. That was a surprise twist in his day. Followers of John, knowing he's speaking for God and that he's leading people to a way of life that is preparing the way for them to know God. And he says, there's the Lamb of God. A change in the road, a change in the journey. Now from following being the disciple of John to following being the disciple of Jesus. Who saw that coming today? And Simon, did he wake up that morning thinking, I'm going to get a new name today? He got a new name today. Rock. He was wishy-washy. How could that be his name? That's what Jesus called him, Rock. And then there was the one sitting under the tree, wanting to get close to God, Nathaniel, and from evidently to him, for him, an unexpected place, came this one who was the one. Who was the one? So as all of this is going on, there's traffic flow on this road. We need to see the traffic flow. It kind of goes like this, that one is a sign pointing to Jesus, and then that one takes the one to Jesus. That one has a new journey with Jesus, and then they go and become one who points one to Jesus and takes one to Jesus. It's a clear traffic flow. That's how it goes on this freeway. That's what it's supposed to happen. So maybe what we're to be as those on this road, if we're with Jesus, if we're on the journey with Jesus, maybe what we're supposed to do is be like moving signs. Maybe we are like a big bumper sticker. And I thought, what would that be like? What would be some things that would be on this bumper sticker? If we were a big moving sign, hopefully pointing to Jesus and leading people to Jesus. So I kind of went on the internet and looked up the idea of follow me bumper stickers. And then I found out there are don't follow me bumper stickers. So I thought it would be good to start with those. Don't follow me, I'm lost too. That could be our moving sign bumper sticker. Don't follow me, I'm lost too. That might be one option for that sign we have. Maybe not a good one, but it could be how we communicate. Then there was this one bumper sticker with an amazing, I don't know what it was, but it was an amazing off-the-road vehicle. I mean, it was impressive. It was mighty. It had huge tires on it, and on the words it said, "Don't follow me, you won't make it." Well, that could be our bumper sticker. Don't follow me, you won't make it, because you know what? You are not good enough. You're not as good as me. I'm a good one. I'm a big one. I'm a powerful one. Don't follow me because, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. That could be one. Then I found a really sophisticated one. You know those oval magnets or bumper stickers that have like three letters in them, often for schools or states or whatever? This one was an oval. It was DFM, meaning don't follow me. Sophisticated. I'm too cool for you. You're not cool enough to go this direction. Well, then there were some follow me ones. Although this one, it means nothing, but I just thought it was a good one. Who are these kids and why are they following me? Another one was follow me to the sky. Follow me to the sky. I can't figure that one out. Follow me to the sky. But actually, maybe that could be what we communicate. Follow me to the sky, to this place you can't possibly find, get to. It's really vague. It's really imaginary. I came up with the one that I would love to have for my bumper sticker, if I could, by God's help, have this one. Follow me to Wonderland. Now, the whole image on the bumper sticker was Alice in Wonderland, right? That's fake. I think it is that fake? Anyways, I think it is. So that's really not what I want. I would like to separate the word and make it Wonderland, but it's a real place. It's the place where Jesus is. A land of wonder. Wait, have you ever seen those, commercials or whatever, where this person's driving down the road and all of a sudden the black and white becomes colored, the things that were not alive come alive? Maybe you haven't seen that. I like it. It's probably an old one. But that's it with Jesus. When we're on the road with him, things come alive. And things become more colorful, more full of life. That's what I want. Follow me to Wonderland. I pray that I could live a life with him that would draw people to follow that sign. We see in this passage a skeptic's surprise. A skeptic is one that I can't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's fully true. Person that just can't quite believe this thing or person, this thought. Nathaniel was a bit of a skeptic when it came to what he heard about Jesus. He was told, hey, come and see this one that Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Messiah. He's the one. And what was Nathaniel's response? He didn't go to the, I'm so excited to see the one. He started with the Nazareth thing. Why? Nazareth. Why did he start there? I don't know, but he did. Why do I start where I start? He started with the Nazareth thing. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, there are all kinds of thoughts from scholars about why he said that. What was it about Nazareth? We don't really know. It wasn't necessarily any more immoral than any other city. It was a place where some Roman troops were garrisoned. It was a smaller town next to some bigger cities. Who knows? I have a little bit of a theory. Nathaniel was from Cana, about 4 miles from Nazareth. It's like, those are my rivals. Can anything good from there? I don't know. I don't know why. But Nathaniel said, can anything good come from Nazareth? He could have been thinking biblically because the Savior was born in Bethlehem. Maybe that was it. But whatever, he had this thing that kept him from believing that something good could come from Nazareth. And he totally disregarded the message about who Jesus was because of this personal pothole. We have these personal potholes that are on the road that God has laid out for us that we put there ourselves. Or maybe somebody helps develop. Maybe somebody does something and then we interact with that and there's a pothole on the road that keeps us from that place where we're meant to be. Nathanael had some kind of a pothole about Nazareth. He was skeptical. I had a pothole on my way to see Jesus, my Savior. A number of potholes, actually. One of my potholes was my own love of sin that was consuming me and killing me, but I loved it. And I didn't want there to be a Jesus of Nazareth who really was who the Bible says he is. And then there were some experiences I had growing up and going to a church occasionally and the way the people were. Some of them were just, they seemed so boring. Others seemed so mean and cruel. And all of that together was like, I wasn't welcome there. I wasn't good enough to be there. I wasn't wanted there. So somehow I associated Jesus with those people, and then that put a pothole there. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be like those people. Didn't really want to associate with those people. But what about you? And you know, it's not only when we come to Jesus, but there are other potholes that could develop. We could be a believer in Jesus, and he wants to take us somewhere more with him, to know more of him, more of his life. But we got the pothole there. There's something keeping us from moving ahead to that place he's leading us to. Do you have any potholes? Did you have some? Can you think of some that you did have? Do you have any now that you're aware of? Well, if you notice, Jesus was repairing the road to him and to his destiny and destination for those who were on his road. He didn't have to do that, but he did that. So, Simon, this is the Son of God. This is the one. And when he saw Simon, he could have pointed out Simon's flaws, his wishy-washiness, his impulsiveness, whatever. That's not what he did. He repaired the road. He said, "You are Rock. That's your name." And Nathanael, Jesus knew Nathanael had disrespected him. He knew it. And what did he do when he came face to face with the one who disrespected him, who didn't think he could possibly be who he was? He could have put him in his place. He could have said, "Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I am the Son of God? Don't you know that I wasn't born in Nazareth, I was born in Bethlehem?" And he could have belittled him. He repaired the road. He said, "Look, Nathanael, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Get back to that in a minute. But he embraced the fact that Nathanael, though he disrespected Jesus, was sincere in his seeking. Has the Lord Lord repaired roads for you, potholes? Can you remember what he's done? One of the things that as the road was opened up, there was the potholes repaired. There was wow on the way. I'm not advertising for any internet server. It's so hard for us to get this. But Jesus is the same today that he was the day that he met Nathaniel. He is still reaching out to people to call them to himself. He's still surprising skeptics on the road to nowhere good and leading them down the road and boggling their minds with his wow on their way to their destiny and destination with him. For Nathaniel, his first wow, his first, not his last, his first wow was that Jesus saw him before he saw him. How about that? Nathaniel's walking up to Jesus and Jesus said, yeah, I saw you when you were under the fig tree just a little while ago. That was a wow for Nathaniel, and that woke him up and that revealed who Jesus was. Supernatural knowledge revealing that this truly is the Son of God, who these others are saying he is. What was your first wow? Do you remember your first wow? My first wow was when I was at a camp. It doesn't sound wowish, but it was the biggest wow ever. It was when I recognized that Jesus died for me. As bad, ugly, evil as I am, he died for me. I couldn't comprehend that. I deserved to be beaten, punished, ripped apart, thrown into hell. But he decided to die for me because he loved me. Wow. Wow. So that was the beginning, though. There was more wow. Jesus is the one who opens roads to off-the-map living. These words, they're so powerful, and it's so difficult for us to grasp what is being said. Jesus said, you will see heaven opened. You will see heaven opened, and you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That was him. So when heaven is opened, that means prophetically, we can read this in the Old Testament, it means a major unveiling of revelation of God. You will see God revealing himself. God is going to show you, wow. Heaven. This Jesus is referring back to Genesis 28 with what we call Jacob's ladder. Jacob had a dream. Jacob became Israel. He had a dream that in this place he was at where angels were ascending and descending from heaven. And so we have that song now, I'm climbing Jacob's ladder. So that is what happened to Jacob. Jacob was known as a man of guile. He became Israel, the father of the nation. And Nathanael, Jesus said, here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile, and you will see heaven opened up and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He's saying, this is greater than what Jacob saw in his dream. This is more than that. And you, as a true Israelite, you will with me see what you have never dreamed of seeing. You will see heaven opened. And Nathanael went on with Jesus, and he saw, wow, wow. Every day had to be wow. Wow, look at that. And here's the idea. When Jesus talks about heaven opened and angels ascending and descending, he's talking about heaven coming to earth. He's talking about the will of God in heaven being done on earth, the kingdom of God coming here. And so Jesus heals the sick. He raises the dead. He sets the captives free. He feeds the hungry. He loves the lonely. He brings a way for the oppressed to live in freedom. Heaven coming to earth. And that is what happens when we follow Jesus. That's what we will see if we will walk with him as Nathanael walked with him. I want to ask you to ask yourself something. Is there anything that you want, anything that you can think of that you would possibly want more than to see heaven opened and to see heaven coming to earth? Is there anything more that you would want than a life journeying with Jesus day by day? Being with him, being for him, serving him, being a moving sign for him, and watching what he does day by day by day, many times a day. Is there anything you want more than that? If that's what you want, Jesus is calling to you like he called to Nathanael. Follow me. You will see. You will see. Follow me. You will see. There will be trouble. There will be difficulty. But you will see. You'll see him. He will be with you. I've had so many things I've been skeptical about. I don't know if the same for you. I was skeptical about his love for me and his ability to forgive my sins. And he showed me he did that for me. I was skeptical about whether or not he was a personal God. I thought he was far away and detached. But he showed me he is with me. He's always with me. When I'm lonely, when I'm sad, when I'm happy, when I'm feeling satisfied, all the time, he is with me. And then I got this idea that even though he died for me as my Savior, and I received him as my Savior, and he was with me and he was for me, I still had to earn his favor. I had this idea that if I wanted him to like me, and if I wanted to have him do anything through my life when I was trying to serve him, I better have my devotions every day. I better never get mad at people or even be in conflict with anyone. I better get rid of my habits. I better spend my time doing things that were hard all the time. I better not relax. I better not enjoy. I better not. It goes on and on and on and on. How about you? The wow came through. What he does for me, what he does through me, I don't earn it. I can't earn it. I can't be good enough. It's not about me and my works and my goodness. It's about him and his works and his goodness. And if I am not good enough to be speaking here, which I'm not, it doesn't matter because he made me holy. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be saying his name. But he worked and he accomplished his work. And then I thought he was a God that, he did those things years ago, right? Things we read about in the Bible. Healing and stuff, and speaking to people and all that. He used to do that. Wasn't that great? Wouldn't it have been great to live back then when he used to do that? I was skeptical. And then, I felt healing in my very own body. I saw people healed instantaneously of things. I saw people healed through prayer, God working through prayer, that I never thought he possibly would or could do that. I believe that he has spoken in ways to people that only he could have spoken. Only he could have known that. Only his power could have been in the power of those words to do what those words did when those people heard that. Wow. Wow. You will see. And then I thought that his people were mean and cruel and distant, uncaring. And then he said, through his actions, I believe, I'm going to connect you with people who will show you my love, through whom I will work with my power. I will speak with my word. Who will be your true family? Wow. Wow. Let's stand. Lord, if some of us aren't stirred in our hearts about wanting to be with you, wanting to see you, wanting to see heaven come to earth, would you just shake our hearts right now? Would you stir our hearts? And Lord, would you today, would you speak to us one thing individually that we need to take a next step to follow you, to know you? Would you help us to hear your voice speaking to us about that next step? Lord, thank you. Thank you that we could all be here all day and the next day and all week talking about you and the wow that you have shown us. Lord, we want you to be glorified. We want to know you. We want to see you glorified as your kingdom comes. Help us to worship you from our hearts.